Blackstone Audiobooks presents Claudius the God by Robert Graves. The author prefaces his book with a note. The gold piece, here used as the regular monetary standard, is the Latin aureus, a coin worth 100 sestertii, or 25 silver denarii, silver pieces. It may be thought of as worth roughly £1 sterling, or $5. The mile is the Roman mile, some 30 paces shorter than the English mile. The marginal dates have, for convenience, been given according to Christian reckoning. The Greek reckoning, used by Claudius, counted the years from the first Olympiad, which took place in 776 BC. For convenience also, the most familiar geographical names have been used, thus France, not Transalpine Gaul. Because France covers roughly the same territorial area, and it would be inconsistent to call towns like Nîmes and Boulogne and Lyon by their modern names, their classical ones would not be popularly recognized, while placing them in Gallia Transalpina, or, as the Greeks called it, Galatia. Greek geographical terms are most confusing. Germany was called the country of the Celts. Similarly, the most familiar forms of proper names have been used. Livy for Titus Livius, Cymbeline for Cunobelinus, Mark Antony for Marcus Antonius. Claudius is writing in Greek, the scholarly language of his day, which accounts for his careful explanation of Latin jokes and for his translation of a passage from Ennius, quoted by him in the original. Some reviewers of I. Claudius, the prefatory volume to Claudius the God, suggested that in writing it I had merely consulted Tacitus's Annals and Suetonius's 12 Caesars, run them together, and expanded the result with my own vigorous fancy. This was not so, nor is it the case here. Among the classical writers who have been borrowed from in the composition of Claudius the God are Tacitus, Dio Cassius, Suetonius, Pliny, Varro, Valerius Maximus, Orosius, Frontinus, Strabo, Caesar, Columella, Plutarch, Josephus, Diodorus Siculus, Photius, Xiphilinus, Zonaras, Seneca, Petronius, Juvenal, Philo, Celsus, the authors of the Acts of the Apostles, and of the pseudo-gospels of Nicodemus and St. James, and Claudius himself in his surviving letters and speeches. Few incidents here given are wholly unsupported by historical authority of some sort or other, and I hope none are historically incredible. No character is invented. The most difficult part to write, because of the meagerness of contemporary references to it, has been Claudius's defeat of Caractacus. For a plausible view of British Druidism, too, I have had to help out the few classical notices of it, with borrowings from archaeological works, from ancient Celtic literature, and from accounts of modern megalithic culture in the New Hebrides, where the dolmen and menhir are still ceremonially used. I have been particularly careful in my account of early Christianity to invent no new libels, but some old ones are quoted, for Claudius himself was not well disposed to the church, and derived most of his information about Near Eastern religious matters from his old school friend Herod Agrippa, the Jewish king who executed St. James and imprisoned St. Peter. I again thank Miss Laura Riding for her careful reading of the manuscript and her many suggestions on points of literary congruity, and Aircraft Man Shaw for reading the proofs. Miss Jocelyn Toynbee, lecturing classical history at Newnham College, Cambridge, has also given me help, for which I am most grateful, and I must acknowledge my indebtedness to Signor Arnaldo Momigliano's monograph on Claudius, recently published in translation by the Oxford University Press.